It's the 12th of April, 2016, here in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California. Wonderful, wonderful morning. I'm pulling things together, getting ready to get out there in the traffic on the workforce, concentrating on the traffic and making sure that when I make the left turns, isn't it terrible? I went to CNN just to peek at the news this morning to see what was happening on my computer, and football player shot to death in his Mercedes, and his wife shot a couple of times, fussing with some other big dude that looks like a linebacker. Two more black men, one dead, another one accused. Man, come on, driving Mercedes and Hummers, they have money. What is it with this? Why? It's like the call that I got yesterday. Call I got from a man that's just a little over 50 years old. I know this man. I love this man. This man told me that he was tired. Tired of being alive. He wanted to leave. He said, John, I just want to leave. I want to go home. And I said, you can't. And you know, so many people feel that way. This depression that is spreading over everything. All the values, all of the morals, all of the things that once held us together, especially as an African-American community, and even in the Hispanic community. It was what, you know, mama said, what papa said, how they raised us. All of those things are gone. Our children no longer listen to us. They listen to their peers. They listen to the social networks that they're a part of. They're not connected to anything else. What do I tell a friend of mine that tells me he doesn't want to live anymore? I told him what I told my sister before she passed away, because she used the same words. She said, I'm tired. Mm-hmm. When a human being becomes tired of being here, and what is it? That little clock was telling me that it's 8 o'clock, right? No, it can't be 8 o'clock. It can't be 8 o'clock. No, it's just 7 o'clock. Good, I got time. I got time now. I don't want to be late this morning. You know, being late is a bad, bad sign. And I'm just trusting that L.A. traffic is going to be, because this is a bad city for traffic. I'm telling you. Bad city. And I got a couple of things to do today. But anyway, what do you tell a person? Okay. This is what I told him. I said, I know what you're going through, because I had to make a major decision in my life, and I made it, and I'm going to follow through with it. And I said, and it is a task that has to get done. And I said, lest you know that that task has to get done, and that you are the one that is going to be held responsible for doing it, then it's not going to get done. Then your life has no purpose. I ask him, what is your purpose? What is it that God placed you here to do? And what he did is he says, that makes sense. And I said, what I want you to do is I want you to think about that, because if there is no purpose for you left here, then it is probably time for you to die. Just like it was for my sister. I'm just being real with it. She did not want to be here. And I told her, if you don't want to be here, you won't be. Your body will stop. I saw her when she was dying, leaving here. It was, I know that my time is coming like that, but I'm not going to hasten it on. I want to do something. I want to mean something before God says, okay, it's time to shut out your lights. And I hope I don't suffer long. My sister didn't. A couple of weeks. I don't think she felt anything. But she gave up, friends. Don't give up. You know, one of the verses of scripture that I shared with him. Let me think back on the conversation now. Yeah, when he says that he has never left us and forsaken us. We're not left alone. He said, see, Coltrane, you got friends calling you, coming around you. I said, no, I don't. Most of them think that I'm dead or dying. They call me and they How are you? What do you mean, how am I? What does it look like on my website? Do you listen? How are you? Are you well? I think so. A couple of bugs have been biting me lately. I just put a little lotion on me, but I keep going. Doing okay, I guess. But even if I were not doing okay, what does that have to do with you or anyone else? Each of us have a responsibility to live our life to please God and to please Him in such a way in what we're doing with our lives. If you have a room, just a room that you can stand, a room that you can stand as you listen to this on your phone or something, I want you to take some time and I want you to start meditating. Don't meditate like somebody tells you how to meditate. Meditate the way you feel good. Tell you what you do. You just bow your head. Get quiet in a room, just like it is in the studio here. Quiet. It's so quiet and so peaceful. My mind is at ease. I'm coming to God now. And I'm asking Him to have mercy on me today. I don't know what's out there. I don't know what this day is going to hold. But if He has found me worthy of something, Even in my handing papers back to my students when they didn't get the best necessary grade that they could have gotten, teach me how to be merciful, to be kind, compassionate, and understanding, and not some disgruntled old man tired of life because he's aching and paining. Nah. Go there with a smile on my face, with an anticipation of greeting another human being, helping them as they come along there. Because see, I remember when I was in junior college. I recall back in 1972, man. I think it was from 1972 to 1976. That I attended junior college, East LA Junior College, just to get the AA degree. This was at night, taking all the classes that I had to take in the city, in the county buildings downtown. At night, after I worked a full 40 hours a week. And then when I came home, took the girls to Disneyland and things like that, what little money we had. We couldn't go all the time. We wanted to be maybe once a year. We were too busy saving up money to buy a TV. I didn't believe in all that credit. Let's save up the money, buy it with cash. Raising a family, doing life. Life goes on. Lucy went on off and left me. The girls grew up, went on, chose their own path. I'm right here in the same house, people. Same place, same space. Just a painted room, maybe a new piece of furniture now and then. A new face coming through. And I told this guy over the phone, you remember when I moved in this place, basically? Why is it that I'm not thinking about leaving here and you are? What's the difference between me and you? And then I shared with him, I believe in the Word of God. My God shall never put more on me than I am able to bear. But with that He's putting on me, He will give me room to escape. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. My Into the Word 1 mailbox is full and it keeps jamming up. I'm going to have to lose that email. It's just, I think a virus got in my mailbox or something. And so from here on, don't send me any email to that address. I'm going to shut that down. I have no need for it anymore. All they're sending me is junk mail. So if you want to contact me, you know, I'm kind of like this. If you want to contact me. And I have to contact all the rest of these people too, because that email address is really a mess. but take heart. If you've read portions of scriptures once, and even if you needed someone like myself to exegete it for you, to explain it, and someone has explained it to you, well, then start living what you read. I'm going to tell you, because if you don't start living what you read, you're going to sound like this man that I spoke to yesterday. And I called him out of the blue, and he said, oh, you call me. And then he said, I saw someone else that came by, and he's miserable, and he's this, and he's that. And I said, I remember when the guy got that girl pregnant. I told him he was out of his mind. Now he's suffering the consequence of it, and misery has filled his life. He had no business doing that. Why would someone bring another human being in the world and has no way, absolutely no idea on how to be a father, a parent, to raise a child, and is not ready for that? Why? See, there's another one, scripture that comes into mind. The psalmist wrote it this way: thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. See, it's not necessarily sinning against yourself that you're doing, but you're sinning against God. And what that does, in a very real way, it holds back his blessings from being poured out on you. When you sin against God, when you sin against the one that has given you favor, you wake up every morning, clothed in my right mind, nothing hurting me. Do you hear me? I got up this morning, my clock went off, I jumped up, my feet hit the ground, and I said, oh, this is wonderful. I feel great. I am telling you, it is what a person does, and then who that person gives homage to for being able to do it. I can't get up and go to work unless God gives me strength. One young man told me, he's not even 25, he told me, he says, are you crazy? I've seen people your age in my neighborhood, all up and down the street where he frequents. And he said, you cut your head bald, but you have all of your hairline. He said, these old people that I know are bald-headed, are patched-headed, incoherent, talking out of their minds, cursing out young people, just snatching things and acting poorly. What happened? See, that's what happens when a grown man, 50 plus, says, I want to leave here. And then he says, everybody is turned. I says, no, there is no moral duplicity. There is no moral standard for anyone to live by. You have to choose your own. If you come to this website and if you listen to this man, he's going to tell you to choose the Judeo-Christian background, because that is the only thing that's the only thing that I've found that holds me intact. If you find it in any other religion, well, go ahead and try it. I'm talking about something that works. My God said, he shall never leave me nor forsake me. My God told me to cast all my care on him because he cares for me. Man, when I was in hospital hurting and couldn't do anything and couldn't urinate, and I've never felt pain like that in my life, I recall that scripture. Cast my care. I said, God, you take it. I can't do nothing with this. This hurts me too bad. Tears coming out of my eyes. I didn't cry out like a baby because I'm a grown man. I didn't want people to think I was looking for sympathy, but I was in pain. And when you're in pain and there is nothing else that you can do, if nobody calls you, nobody comes by to see you, nobody talks with you, nobody wants to have anything to do with you anymore, you're all alone. That's when you call out to the one that created you, man. You call out to the one that put you together. Call out to the one that's given you sense enough to know how to act in a world when everybody else feels suicidal. You want to be there to pick up the pieces. That's what you want to be there for, to pick up the pieces. I hear people talk about it all the time. Oh, he left me. Oh, she left me. Oh, my friends don't like me. All this or that. Like yourself, for God's sake. Love yourself, boy. Get in front of that mirror. Go and get a nice haircut. Okay, get a pair of slacks. Press them. Starch them. Put them on. Walk down the street. Get that swag going. Come on now. Step into this 21st century. God is the God of the present age, right here where we are. Right here where you are. I'm telling you something. You know, I told you a couple of days ago I was vying to try to get this job, this permanent job as a professor. I don't have time. I got to write my memoirs. I know what I have to do. I hope I can continue to get some kind of teaching assignment somewhere. I'm going to have to petition out to the other colleges again because, man, I need money to live. But you know what? I got to get God's work done first. I got to do something. And so that when I leave here, at least I can say, well, I did everything that I was supposed to do. If a young 22-year-old can write a book and I can read through the book and the book has a couple of nice things in it and I have life history, I think I better. I was at a meeting and I met a brother the other day and I bought one of his books that he wrote for $20. Thumbed through it. I said, wait a minute, I can beat this. But I want to do a good job of it. And every time I see the sun come up, every time I hear a car roll down the street, every time I hear a couple fussing and fighting like yesterday. Yesterday evening, police car down the street from my house. I heard them screaming all the way down through my front door. Well, you brought that young man in the house. You got him sleeping with you and everything, so he just feel like he own everything. Now you trying to throw him out and make him fight you. And now I'm black and white unit come up. I should have had my peace flag flying. Because these youngsters don't know what they're doing. And when my friend was telling me this, he said, have you seen these young people? I said, come on, man. They are out of their minds. They don't have the disciplines that we once had. And then he said, you try to tell them something, they won't listen. No, especially if you're not successful, if you're not bringing in mega bucks. And if you're talking chump change, like $10,000, $12,000 a year, something like that, they don't want to talk with you. You got to be talking $50,000 to $80,000 to even get a rise out of them, and any kind of intellectual rise, because they're not thinking about that. They see you headed towards poverty. See, my friend, a young person is a different kind of an individual. It takes him a little bit longer to figure it out. And without the wisdom, oh my goodness, we need more people like Socrates. And I can't help but to think about it because in the Philosophy 1 class, we have to write about the apology. You know, Socrates was trying to put some wisdom in the minds of the young people in the society that he lived in, didn't even like him telling the young men around him the truth. When you ask yourself a question, why are these young men in our day and age on all these narcotics, and they have no other hope for anything else, people. I live in this inner city. What you talking about? Working at McDonald's for minimum wage? What can they do with that? They sleep in what? They sleep where? Well, there's an article on the thing. I think I spoke about it about a second yesterday. This football player, it's all over the news. Pictures of his apartment, trashed. Living in a garbage heap. What is this? Is this supposed to be fun? You're making hundreds and thousands of dollars living like a tramp in trash? And now they're killing each other in Humvees and Mercedes. When you look at what is happening in our society, that is because we have dropped God off at the drugstore around the block. We left him. And when you leave God and when you leave righteousness, and I'm not talking about no fake behind Christianity. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about going to church and giving the preacher your money and paying your tithes. You ain't no Jew from the tribe of whatever. What you paying anybody anything for? God never told you to pay anybody for your spiritual growth. I know. I was a pastor in the church. I was a pastor in the church during an age when I was bringing you up to what Socrates was bringing his contemporaries up to. There's some things pretty rotten in the church these days. And it's going to do you well to find out what is rotten and what is not. I think that we go to religious institutions out of force of habit. But we really don't even know why we going and participating in all that stuff. Often I ask my students, oh, you're Catholic, right? Yeah, okay. How did Mary conceive without the auspices of a man? What? How did Mary have that baby without God did? How? I didn't ask you who did it. How did it take place? Define for me the Immaculate Conception. Please. Well, we can't do that. Well, what are you doing following a faith that you can't even define? How do you know you haven't been tricked? And why should anyone even listen to you? See, I'm asking serious questions about what a lot of people say. And it doesn't make any sense for you to say you believe that. If you can't define it, you can't defend it. I've said that for years. What are you trying to defend which you can't even define? Yes, I can explain the Immaculate Conception. And I believe that God in all of his majestic truth and everything could cause that to take place. And it takes a deep faith, a strong faith to believe in that, because you have to get outside. You have to get into a metaphysical realm to believe this. I believe that God so loved the world that in some supernatural way, he sent to this planet a person which the Bible calls his only begotten son, because God don't go around making little images of himself around here to bring about a means of escape from the idea, I just want to leave the planet. Why would anyone want to leave this planet before the time that God has allotted for him to do it? Young man told me yesterday over the phone, I was talking with him, and he was saying, you know, you cut your hair bald every day. I said, yes, I shave my head bald with my bevel razor. I love this bevel razor. I love the fact that I'm saving, $25 every 2 weeks from going to the barbershop. That's money in my pocket. Why in the heck am I going around giving a barber money to cut my hair when I wear a nice bald haircut? Pretty nice, right? You've seen it on the website. Pretty cool look, isn't it? That's me. Don't be mad at me. I'm saving money. I don't have money to give the barber. Matter of fact, I went by my barber shop just to say hello. You know, the owner of the barber just looked at me and, He just said, hey, like that. Didn't even want to talk with me. Any other time, because I'm not spending money there. See what I mean? The friendship was not based upon a heartfelt friendship. The friendship was only based upon if you spending money sitting in my chair. I don't want to sit in your, you see what I mean? Can I have a genuine relationship? You think I'm bothered by him not talking with me? I'm not giving him my money. I'm not giving it up. I give money for services rendered. I don't need you to render no service on my head. And if I learn how to use these razor materials good enough, I may grow my hair back and edge up my own hair. See, that's having confidence in you, because the God that made you has given you the witness to do it. Now, what I've tried to do, and I don't want to talk too bold about this because I don't want to come back and contradict or countermand any of my webcasts, but what I have tried to do in the past is what I'm doing in the present. I'm trying to live up to the standards that God has given me. I don't live up to it all the time. I don't. I'm human, just like you. When that brother told me he just wants to leave, and he knew that I understood that language. And he doesn't talk to everybody like that, but he told me, he said, man, I'm ready to go right now. And I'm saying, yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. And that's why when you see certain people, you find them dead. They were just ready. Spoke to themselves, spoke with their Lord, and got out of here. Because you know when you die, and see, I got to go by my tax person today. I haven't been by there. I got to go by there and drop off this paperwork. But when you die, you leave all that. And when I die, what is the government going to come here and get? They won't be able to get anything. That's the way it is. You come into this world with nothing. And you know you're going to leave here with nothing. I think about all these people that are millionaires now. All these stars, these rock stars, these people with money. I remember when the Beatles were young men like myself. I remember when all the singing group, all of them were young. Ooh, look at that. Lou Rawls is dead. Can you believe it? All the classic men, Joe Williams. Every day I got the blues. He's dead. Miles Davis is dead. John Coltrane dead. All the great jazz greats. Now they got these people. They're going to be dead in 20, 30, 40 years. Dead. They may be spinning their music. Their families may be getting a few royalties. You know the way that works. People got a little change coming in. Make sure that they're protecting their chain so they can live. That's the way life is. Some people have it a little better than others. But I'm telling you something. When you have God in your life, you call on Him when you're feeling alone. You call on Him. He'll fill your mind. Well, I've spoken enough. I got to get on the highway. I got to fight traffic and go all the way to the end of the city. And and I got to give 2 midterms today. And I got to hand back some essays. And it's going to be a task, to say the least, because some of the youngsters aren't going to like the grades that they got. Some will. Some aren't going to like the explanation, but some will. That's the way it is in this life. I'm just happy that God has given me the strength that I can jump in my car. I can see clearly. I can think resoundly. And I can operate in this body. I thank God. It's all because of His grace. One young man told me yesterday, he was talking about my hairline. And I was complaining because I said, my goodness, I just shaved my head bald. And I just rubbed my hand across the top of my head. And I felt the bristles coming back. And he said, that means you're healthy, John. I said, what? He said, that means that you're healthy. Since you're still producing hair at that rate. I mean, you shave it off in the morning. And in the evening, by 6 o'clock, it's back. He said, that means you're healthy. I said, I never thought about it that way. And he said, think about other old people. And he said, that's a sign that if you don't run into calamity or something, you can live to 90 years old and more. I didn't know that. And I look at my body, you know, I see the muscle fiber under the skin. Muscles are, you know, and it's good to just massage yourself. And to let yourself, listen, here's a good sign for older people. I love a nice body masseur. I love it. Come by here and massage my legs, my arms, my back, my upper, lower back, shoulders, everything. Just massage it. But I've learned how recently to massage myself. Because when you do that, sometimes when you feel alone, sometimes when you just need human to touch you, you're a human being. You need that. You require that. For those of you that are alone and you think you need a partner, no, touch yourself. You'll be all right. You may look kind of weird But you have to stand in the mirror and do it, and your muscles will let you know which muscle needs to be masseured. Mm-hmm. Because your muscles will move, you know, towards the pressure that you apply to that part of your body. Your muscle will move. And it'd be nice if you get some nice oils and do yourself. Do yourself. It is a wonderful feeling, and you will feel good during the day as you face your day instead of you facing your day with dread. Oh, I have to get up and I have to do this, or and I have to do that. No, you shouldn't have to face a day like that. Well, I hope that this little talk has cheered you up a little bit. And I hope that my friend took the lesson that I gave him. I quoted enough scripture. And I said, when you used to attend the church that I pastored, I used to tell you this all the time. And he said, John Coleman, you always do it. You always know how to build somebody up. Yeah, that's called edification, man. I said, and I do it every day of my life. I edify myself. My tax consultant, she was talking to me yesterday, and she said, I was concerned about you. You miss your appointment again. I said, I miss it because I didn't write it down, and I'm not concerned about those things. Tax man will get his money when he get it, if he get it. You know what I mean? And if I ever write him and tell him I ain't got no money to give you, and he tried to come out here and take my house, I'm saying, no, I'm living on a reverse mortgage. You can't. I ain't paying for it. What you going to do, put me in the street? I'm not worried about that. $3,000 or $4,000? What? I don't care if it's $50,000. I don't have it. Let me pay you $10 a month for the rest of my life and let the interest keep going up. What you going to do? Take my body and sell the body parts? You have to learn how to live where you are. Once I paid off all of my credit cards and everything. Once I did that. And I promised myself that I'd never boost them right back up. Boom, within 2 years, it's right back up to where it is. Because living in this society demands that you purchase. I mean, I'm just, if not, you know what I mean? And so, if you're fighting the same thing that I'm fighting over here, unless you're very blessed, unless you, like a lot of people did, and I did, I worked all of those years. Every one of those years. You know what I'm looking at right now? I'm looking out of the Lucy Coleman studio window, and I'm watching two people come out of Esther's house, because that house belonged to Esther. She left it to her daughter. And I watch her daughter lose that house about 6 months ago. Literally lost it. Borrowed so much against it, she could never pay it back and had to dump it. Her heritage was let go. I mean, and she had a man with her, and he refused to work and to help her keep what was a heritage. I just saw two people come out of that house, and the house isn't theirs. The house was the other lady's. When you make choices that are not the right choices, you're going to suffer the consequence of it. And unfortunately, in this city, there's a lot of people that's looking for homes. And when you just throw it away like that, wow, unfortunate. But they're driving off to work because they have to keep the roof over their head too. And I'm sure you do too. If you're on the bus, if you're on the train, if you're getting ready to take a flight somewhere, if you're just in the middle of the country and you said, I wonder what John Coleman is doing, and you tuned in, makes me think of a guy named Miguel Soto. He's gone on now. I remember he used to fly to Mexico and dive out of airplanes and everything. And I heard one Christmas Eve, they found him in his home, gone. I don't know what happened. I don't know what the circumstance of the situation was. He had a nice home. He was a nice guy. I flew out a couple of times. He came here to visit me in Los Angeles. I took him through Beverly Hills. I'll never forget his statement. He says, "Oh my God." I said, "What, Miguel?" And he says, "There's so much money here." I said, "Oh yes. We're in Beverly Hills. We're headed down Sunset going towards the beach. Nothing but houses, money, people with money." I said, "This is a rich city. And the poor people live on the outskirts of the richness. It's a city. It's Los Angeles. And if you find yourself in a place like this, know this, that wherever you are, you cannot hide from God. He's right here, and he can be with you, and he can bless you. He can bring the happiness back to you. The peace." Another scripture that I think about. "My peace," Jesus said, "I give unto them." And he said, "I don't give them the kind of peace that the world gives," meaning he doesn't give the peace because when you win money as an American Idol or you get some tickets to Disneyland, that's not peace, that's frustration. He says he gives peace not as the world gives it. And when you look at that, it's more than the Greek term irene. It's more of a cessation of hostilities. Think about that. All of your hostilities cease when he gives you his peace. That's what you want. That's what we're striving for. That's what it's all about. And even if you died alone in a gutter, in this city, or any city, anywhere, God is right there with you. If you're in a part of the world where you're being persecuted because you like to read the Bible, I'm going to give you some aid. I'm going to give you, hide that book. Hide it. The psalmist says, "That word have I hid in my heart." Hide that book. Because some people can't stand it. They don't want peace. They want to live by their rule of law. Hide it. And read that and memorize it and put it in your heart and treat people right. Don't go around boasting around that you're a follower of Christ. You know, some of these people think that you're a terrorist and they'll cut your head off. Figure out what your purpose is for God and to live that way. I saw an article that said that three young teenage girls were beheaded because they were sharing Bible tracts. And that, man, you better be careful in a foreign country doing that. If people tell you that it's against the law to do that, why would you do it? What are you trying to prove? God told you to do what? No, somebody told you to do that, and they're the ones that got you killed. So if you have a Bible and you want to read it, read it. And you have people that you want to share it with them. But be careful, because some people have other religions, and they figure that you're full of sacrilege. They don't want the peace that you have. They got peace what they got it in. Let them live with that. And don't condemn them to hell. You don't know where they're going. They haven't said or done anything to you. Why are you angry with them? See what I'm talking about? Get out of this religion that is vindictive, full of vengeance. Many Christians can't get their way. They want to condemn somebody to hell. Man, stop it. I saw something, a picture on the internet, and the person is in my family. And I say, well, there it is. Oops, there it is. That's all I can say. People are going to have to be who they are. I know the way they were raised. I know where they were raised, why they were raised, and that's a result of it. I don't feel bad about it. I try to encourage them as much as I can. I hope that you do the same thing. All right, I'm off for work because you know I'll get on another tangent. Thank you for coming by my website. Thank you for your kind thoughts towards me, and I have the same ones towards you too. You know the drill. So that you'll have those scriptures pop to the top of your head when you feel like leaving this planet. Stay into the Word, for it is the biblical alternative.